So.
Well, the financial lives, the poets, like so many of your other works, there are rumors. It's already being performed as a play.
Yeah.
But there are rumors that there's a movie coming out, and with the title Bailout, starring
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
Yeah, has been rumored to be in it. Yeah.
You know, you see all these little hints that something is coming out, but I haven't seen any proof that it is.
Yeah. No. I mean, Hollywood is a strange place. They'll always announce that something is being made into a movie. But it's sort of like letting a lot of salmon go to swim back upstream. A few of them are going to make it, but they announce that all the salmon are going. And so you'll hear your favorite book was optioned, and this actress wants to be in it, and then you just won't ever hear anything, you know, because the salmon...
You wrote the screenplay, though.
I did. I wrote the screenplay for Financial Lives of the Poets, worked with Jack Black, wonderful guy. We had a director, and then we came about $3 million short, which was more than I happened to have on me that day. So the process of getting a movie made can take 3, 5, 7, 12 years. Everything has to fall in place. The actor's timing, the director, the studio has to throw the money together. And then sometimes they just don't get made, and you don't know. So I have...
But you got paid nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. And I have three novels in some level of pre-production, which means somebody somewhere is talking on a phone about maybe making it. So, yeah.
And Beautiful Ruins is one of them.
In fact, it's gotten to the point
where we hear that Imogene Poots will be playing Dee Murray.
Yeah.
And more than that, I'm kind of curious to know who ought to play Michael Dean, who's 72 with the face of a 9-year-old Filipino girl.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting casting, isn't it? Yeah. If you want to find out about movies, don't ask the writer. Yeah, I'm sort of on the outside. You know, there's a director, a great director, Todd Field. He and I worked on the script together. So there's, you know, there was some talk of Michael Douglas at one point. Who might be fine? I don't know. I mean, I have to say, when there's a part of me that doesn't mind being the last word on these characters. You know, I love movies, and it would be fine if one got made. But there's a part of me that wouldn't mind if the last word on Beautiful Ruins came from me.
I know in your family, one of the rules in your household is that before the kids and you can see a movie, if there's a book, you have to read the book first.
Right. Yeah.
There, I think that's a great rule. Is there?
That's why I haven't seen 50 Shades of Grey yet.
Is there a movie that did the book proud?
Sure. We were talking about this at dinner. For some reason, pulp books tend to make great movies. The Godfather is considered the greatest film, American film, by a lot of film scholars, and it's kind of a pulpy novel. But as far as good, you know, books that I enjoy, both of them, I love One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I love the book and I love the film, and yet they're very different things. And I think as a writer, if your work is adapted to Hollywood, you have to admit they're such different forms that to love them is to love them in a very different way. But, you know, Cuckoo's Nest to me is a great example. I thought The Hours was a really fine adaptation of a novel that I really enjoyed. So, of course, you know, it can happen. It tends to be to work better with really linear, straightforward fiction. The thing you lose in a film is interiority. It's so hard to get the interior of those characters. It all has to be external. Something with action, of course, is going to work better than something that's contemplative. The contemplative nature of fiction can make it tougher to capture in film.
You wrote the screenplay, though, with Todd Field. How did that process work?
Let's see. I flew to Santa Monica. I checked into a really nice hotel. I went for a swim. I probably should skip ahead. So Todd and I met and talked about the scope of the story, which things translated, which didn't. Which parts of the book we felt like were necessary to keep. Clearly, the wide range of the novel was going to be harder to pull together. I love the novel Cloud Atlas. I feel like the film doesn't capture what it is to have all those stories coming together. The heart of the novel really takes place in Italy, and so we you know, that was one of the first decisions was, you know, we probably won't be showing much of the Donner Party, for instance.
right.
You know, the framing of the story in the present day, perhaps, but more of the story in Italy. You know, and then there are characters that you have to find your way out of. I still don't know. I've done it both ways. I've allowed other writers to adapt my work, and then I've adapted it. And it's really painful, you know.
To
if,
cut.
Yeah, if it weren't perfect, I wouldn't have written it this way. You know, if there were characters who didn't belong, they wouldn't be there. So sometimes I think turning it over to another writer is almost easier. Todd is such a terrific filmmaker, really sensitive, a great writer himself. So that process was really kind of fun and interesting. And I had to convince myself these are different forms, this thing I'm doing.
And it doesn't need to be a single movie these days. Some of the most popular books are right. now series.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, which I think this could be, in that way, I feel like you could then open the scope up in a great way. So, yeah, you know, this the golden age of television that we're supposedly in now, there's there really is a commitment to interesting and smart television.
This whole celebrity culture, I'm just wondering, first of all, are you recognized on the street? And how do you, I know you have a Facebook page, but you haven't updated it since June of 2013.
No,
so
yeah.
I don't think you're that into social media, despite maybe what your publisher wants. But how do you kind of stay grounded when, you know, 3 years after your book is published, you're still flying all over the world to talk with people about beautiful
yeah.
ruins?
If I'm not grounded, I have my staff, you know, shake me. No, not really. I don't have a staff. I don't know. I mean, the writers aren't recognized that often. There was this great stretch. I was in New York with my family, and they put Beautiful Ruins up on the Times Square billboard. My son took a picture of me. And then we went to buy tickets. This was really illustrative of sort of what it's like to be here. We went to buy tickets for a play. We were waiting in line for the play, and a woman behind me said, "Are you Jess Walter?" And I said, "I am." And my son just went, you know, I thought that was amazing. And some other woman said, "Jess Walter?" And I said, "Yeah." And then this, all of a sudden, people were like taking pictures of me, and someone had their arm around me, and someone said, and one of the women taking pictures said, "Who are we taking pictures of?" She had no idea, you know, and it was just like, he must be somebody. And really only one person had recognized me. The other people were like, "He must be somebody I don't know. I'd better get a picture. Will you sign this? Who are you?" You know, and so there was this moment of like, and it, and I wanted to say, I'm a novelist who's written a satire about fame, actually. Thank you for illustrating it perfectly, you know. But it was really cool that my son was there, you know. And so, more often what'll happen is I'll, you know, be at the grocery store and I'll sign my name and they'll say, "I love your books," or "I hated the ending of your book." I'd say, "Okay, thanks for the groceries." But the great thing about readers, and again, I was talking to the students about this today, the connection we have with a book we love is different than anything else.
You said partly because of the time we spend with it.
Oh, completely, yeah. A novel is about time. It's about the time it took to write it, the time you experience in it. The pathos within it is geared to time. But it's also, it's more than that. If you watch a movie, we all would watch the same movie. We would all see Al Pacino, and we would all see Kirsten Dunst. We would see the same characters. We'd have the same picture. When you read a book, you're casting it, you're directing it. You are so involved in the process. It's almost like the process of writing it and reading it are so connected. I liken it to having written a piece of music that you then take and play on the piano, interpreting it the way you think it should sound. And so people who've read a book and it's their favorite, I don't take that lightly at all. I find that to be such an amazingly connective thing. When I meet someone and this is their favorite book, I know it's because they performed it themselves. And so it's, I still answer every email anyone sends me. If I get around to them, I think I've missed a few, but I try to. And I also think back to when Kurt Vonnegut was so generous with his time. You know, if someone reaches out to a writer, it's because they've been touched by the work in a way that I think is worth remarking on.